Often the obvious is oblique, and the common is cast off. The text that we have before us this morning, it was the gospel lesson that was read, is so common to us that we would be tempted to rush on to deeper things in our search and our quest for the knowledge of God. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and even the scribes seem to have a handle on God and seem to have precise answers for the queries that were directed to them. These people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were the proverbial thorn in the flesh that Jesus contended with in his ministry. As we look at this text, however, you and I have to identify and associate with these brothers of ours, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, even though they are not the type of brothers that we would like to be seen with, much less talk with. But if we are honest with ourselves, we find ourselves in the context of the text. When you look at this section in Matthew chapter 22, we are impressed with the direct question that is a penetrating question offered to Jesus himself. Which is the greatest of the commandments of all of them? And this particular question with its interrogation seemingly does not cause Jesus to become unglued at all. For he had come to fulfill the law, not to make it obsolete. He was very familiar with it from its beginning to its end, and he loved it even unto death. And so as we find him answering their questions, he says to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So easy to read and go on. But how do you and I love God, and how do we love our neighbors? And that question is open-ended. But let me offer one way in which we love God and love our neighbor. I propose that we love God and we love our neighbor when we develop and practice self-discipline. And having said that, I have just offered you a challenge for life: to love God and to love your neighbor by developing and practicing self-discipline. It would be easy for us to look at this text and escape its application by going deeper into the text, by studying the manuscript more, by searching the scriptures more diligently, by involving ourselves in its minute study the rest of our lives, and never get around to its application of really loving God and loving our neighbor. Actually, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did was to build a wall around God's law. Whereas God's law for them became a maze in which they got lost, trying to search and find God himself within the depths of the law, and never succeeded. And so they are interested in Jesus' solution to their lostness. When you look at this, you begin to realize that in our Lord's answer, he brings us out into the sunshine of society, and he, as a great physician, takes a probe and looks into the heart and the mind and the lives of all of us as he challenges us to to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What he is saying is that type of love calls for total commitment, heart, mind, and soul. He does not take second best. And when we apply this principle also to our relationship with our neighbor, we would have to say that in loving our neighbor who is out there somewhere, my love will be predicated on something in here. And what happens in here will determine how I love my neighbor out there. And what I see this text saying basically is this, that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the basic premise. It is contingent upon self-love that is self-disciplined. To love ourselves, even as God loves us in Jesus Christ. I'm assuming that when he talks about the fulfillment of the law here, that none of us hold to the position that as we love God and love our neighbor, we thereby fulfill the law. But rather, we understand that God in Christ has fulfilled the law for us. And when Jesus speaks about the law, he speaks in a unifying way about the law to God as well as to our fellow man. And both of them are summarized in the statement, "You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor." Having said that you and I can love God and our neighbor through self-discipline, I have just confessed my guilt. For only because I am not disciplined do I need discipline. In my admission of self-discipline, I am admitting that my life is not always disciplined in love as it should be. When I worship, my mind and my soul and my heart are not disciplined as I hear his word or as I sing his praise or as I pray to him. Or my eyes are not disciplined, for I see things that I should not see. And my ears are not disciplined, for I hear things that I should not hear. And my lips are not disciplined, for I say things that I should not say, and on and on. But really, this love to our neighbor, I feel, is for the pits. For in reality, I believe that my neighbor is the one who gets loved the most. He gets my best shot, over and above my spouse, my children, and myself. I smile at him. I greet him, even when I don't feel like it. I talk to him when I really don't want to talk to him. And I do things for him that I don't even do for myself. And maybe he is the best off of all of us. But when I look at our Lord's life, I see him, however, loving by serving and by sacrificially giving of himself, so that he was able to fulfill the law because he had a divine, disciplined life that sought not after his own will, but did his Father's will, and showed us that it was in doing the Father's will that he could demonstrate his love for us. Therefore, if God so loved us, we ought to not only love one another, but also love ourselves. For he said, we should love our neighbor as you love yourself. It is predicated on self-love, which is based on self-discipline. Therefore, the God that is ours, "You shall love the Lord your God," is a God who does not speak to us in wrath when we break the law, For we can say to him, I have fulfilled the law in Jesus Christ, who was the one who was disciplined for me, even unto death, and suffered for my undisciplined life. But I now come to the sacrament in order to receive his resurrected, living, life-giving self, who then will enable me to express my love to God and my neighbor through such a disciplined life. Amen.